Well, welcome to you all, and I'm going to get untangled here a little bit. I think we're sitting on court. I got a cup of water on this podium. All right, well, again, greetings. It's good to see you all, and it's good to go into the Word of God together and see what God has for us in His Word. So let's just turn to Exodus chapter 2. And I'd like to continue on with the series in the book of Exodus. There's a lot of history here, but also some very timeless truths that carry to this day. And God has preserved this record for our learning. So we want to look at it carefully and see what there are, what lessons there are for us today as well. Now, we're going to read just a few verses here, and then we're going to go over to another passage in the New Testament in Hebrews 11 and look at a few verses there, and then we're going to come back. So let's start with chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. Okay. Now it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out to his brethren and looked at their burdens, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that way, and when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two Hebrew men were fighting. And he said to the one, "Who did the wrong? Why are you striking your companion?" Then he said, "Who made you a prince and judge over us? Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" So Moses feared and said, "Surely this thing is known." Then Pharaoh heard of the matter, and he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian and sat down by a well. We'll stop right there. We will be reading more, so bear with me a little bit. Now, if you can just hold your place here and turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. I'd like to read another passage there. And we're going to start in verse 24 and read through verse 27. Okay, we read, "By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." Very interesting to get these two passages together because neither one of them is complete by itself. Now, I want to just say that we have evidence in Moses' upbringing that he knew his true identity. That's a very important point. Keep in mind that Moses had been reared in the Egyptian courts of the king. He was adopted by an Egyptian princess, Pharaoh's daughter, and so he was privileged in this sense that he was trained in the education and the influence of his Egyptian benefactor, Pharaoh's daughter. And not only did he know his Hebrew identity despite being in that place, but he also cared about his Hebrew brethren and their suffering. None of this was lost. And this passage in Hebrews 11 really shows us that. In Hebrews 11, this passage shows us far more of what was in Moses, and it is beautiful to see a man of God emerge from a godless environment. Moses' mother, Jochebed, maybe she was able to help Moses as he grew, but this is unknown to us. We do know that she nursed the child, But after the child was weaned, the scriptures are silent as to what her role, if any, there was further involvement by Jochebed. However, what we do know is that God was faithful to provide Moses just what he needed. And by faith, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. This shows us that Pharaoh's daughter had a continuing maternal heart for Moses. Not only did she adopt him, but she desired to be a mother to him. But Moses thought this through, and he understood his privileged position, as we just read, and he had everything that the ancient world had to offer. But it says that he sought the reward. What reward are we talking about? What is the scripture referring to? And if you look at verse 6 in Hebrews 11, it tells us. It says, by faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. This was the reward that Moses was looking for in life. In fact, as Moses thought this through, he knew that if he chose to follow God by faith, that he might well suffer reproach for it. Maybe even be cast out of the palace. In verse 25, it says that Moses weighed the rewards of God versus the world, and he made a clear choice. And verse 26 tells us, a gem, that Moses discovered something when he chose to follow God, and no matter what the consequences, he saw Christ. Verse 26, we read that he saw Christ, and he saw the sufferings of Christ. Now, only God could have revealed that to Moses. There is no other source. Jochebed, I'm sure, didn't know this. Amram, his father, I'm sure, did not know this. He saw it by faith. And it says in verse 27 that he saw him who is invisible. And again, this comes through faith, not by sight. Faith in God and in Christ will never disappoint. The more you look to God in your life, the more God will show you. And the reward of God is a treasure that is greater than all the treasures of Egypt. So, let's go back to Exodus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. We'll just look at these two verses. And I'm going to just read them one more time. It says again, now it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out to his brethren and looked at their burdens, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that way, and when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. Now, clearly we know Moses was a man of faith. However, Moses had this plan in his mind that through his position and his power, that he would help his brethren. And however, you can be sure when you have to look this way and that way so that no one is seeing you, that you're probably not in God's will. And so Moses tried to do God's will in the flesh. And this will never work. Fleshly power, and Moses had it, for he was stronger than this powerful taskmaster, was of absolutely no profit in bringing about God's will. In fact, it made Moses a fugitive. And this is an important lesson for our strong young men of faith here in the fellowship today, is to be careful to distinguish between spiritual power and fleshly power. Moses' life was marked by three distinct time periods, 40 years to manhood, 40 years of shepherding sheep, and 40 years of shepherding God's people. And God had plans for Moses too, for Moses, but not by fleshly power. God needed 40 more years to show Moses that God's deliverance of his people is not by fleshly skill or by fleshly power. And then verse 13 and 14, we read, and when Moses went out a second day, behold, two Hebrew men were fighting, and he said to one who did the wrong, why are you striking your companion? And then he said, who made you a prince and judge over us? Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian? So Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. So we read here, it was the second day, perhaps the very next day, that Moses followed his heart to his brethren. This time, however, he saw a disturbing scene of his brother in fighting. The one in the wrong gets a question from Moses, and it is not received, but rather Moses gets a stinging retort. And two things are revealed to Moses in one short minute. Number one, to deliver Israel, he would need to be respected enough to be followed. And I think he saw the warning. I think he saw that the winning of the respect of his people might not be so easy. Especially when this man said, "Who made you a prince and judge over us?" And then the second thing I think he saw in one short minute was that his own actions of killing an Egyptian man were not the right way, because now he was afraid. So two things. What you have in a matter of minutes, I believe, is a death of a vision. Sometimes we experience this. We have goals, we have ambitions of things we want to do for God in our life, for service. But God may need to prepare us further in His school before we are ready. And I would like to say this too, that sometimes we see needs in the body of Christ or in service. But remember, seeing a need does not necessarily qualify us to fulfill that need. Sometimes there's a waiting time and a preparation time that God has for us spiritually before we can minister to those needs. Nevertheless, God was preparing Moses. Now let's look at verse 15. I describe this as from the frying pan into the fire. Verse 15. So we read, "Then Pharaoh heard of the matter, and he sought to kill Moses. So Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well." How discouraging. How discouraging. Everything going wrong. Can you put yourself in Moses' shoes here a little bit, or in his sandals, whatever the case may be? This poor man, you know, he'd waited for this opportunity all of his life. He's 40 years old, and his heart was full. And we know that the intents of his heart were right. We read that in Hebrews. And yet he'd gone about it prematurely, acting out in fleshly power, and now everything has gone wrong. Has that ever happened to us? We have these plans, and we want to do right, and all of a sudden it just seems like it's worse. He thought his position as a prince would help his people, but now all had failed. He had sacrificed great riches and a high position to keep his brethren, to help his brethren, but it all failed. Maybe he struggled with service toward God. Why didn't God help him to succeed? How could God allow him to become a fugitive? So Moses flees, not knowing where to go. So he went with no destination in mind, only to get away from Pharaoh. And then we read that in verse 16, he came to a well. And let's read on here a little bit. We see that in verse 15. He came to a well in the land of Midian. Let's read verse 16 through the end. Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came to and drew water, and they filled the troughs to water their father's flock. Then the shepherds came and drove them away, but Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. When they came to Reuel, their father, he said, "How is it that you have come so soon today?" And they said, "An Egyptian delivered us from the hand of the shepherds, and he also drew enough water for us and watered the flock." So he said to his daughters, "And where is he? Why is it that you have left the man? Call him that he may eat bread." Then Moses was content to live with the man, and he gave Zipporah his daughter to Moses. And she bore him a son. He called his name Gershom, for he said, "I have been a stranger in a foreign land." Now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. Then the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry came up to God because of the bondage. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. Verse 16. Moses comes to a well in the land of Midian. And Moses may not have known where his feet would take him, but God was guiding his feet. And that's often true in our lives. Sometimes it just seems like we just don't know where this thing is going to go or it's going to take us, and it's troubling. And we may sense that we don't, maybe have this sense about us that we don't even have any direction. And yet, sometimes we look back and we see God was guiding us every step of the way. God had not left Moses and was faithfully at work in Moses' life for good. It's just that Moses didn't see it yet. And then in verse 17 through 20, here we see a second incident of Moses showing a sensitivity to injustice. The first time, you remember, it was with the two Hebrews quarreling. Moses intervened. And now here with the seven daughters of the priest of Midian, he witnessed a scene that bothered him. In addition, we see that Moses was not content to just sit back and do nothing. He stood up for them, it says. And according to verse 19, it says he delivered them. God guided Moses right into the middle of another conflict. And Moses handled the matter quite well, better than in Egypt, and won the attention of the father of seven daughters. Did you notice that Moses was not reluctant to do servile work? He drew quite a bit of water for these maidens and the flock that they tended. His kindness and willingness to work resulted in a job offer to shepherd sheep. Verse 21 and 22, then Moses was content to live with the man, and he gave Zipporah, his daughter, to Moses. And they have a son, and he names him Gershom. All right, so Moses, this marks a change in Moses' life again. He's no longer a fugitive. Now, he is a workman. He had a place to live, and God gave him a wife and a son. The name Moses gave to his son is highlighted because the name Moses gave to his son had meaning and defined his life course in Midian. Gershom means sojourner, or in other words, temporary resident. And that's the way Moses viewed his time here in this place, as temporary. I don't know that he realized it would be a 40 years of temporary living, but that's the way he viewed it at the time. And we might add a word or two about Moses' father-in-law, Reuel. His name later is in the book is called Jethro, same man. He was a priest. We don't know much about that. And we know he was a shepherd. It is doubtful that he had a son, because there is only the mention of seven daughters, and there was no one to help with watching the flock and no one to watch over the family with him. Moses standing up for his daughters was probably a relief of mind to the man. And it also appears that Moses and his father-in-law had a good relationship. Moses did not mind marrying his daughter, and he was content to stay, work, and live near to him for 40 years.